No user serviceable parts inside. Really? I'm David Brancaccio. First, there's news. The number of people signing up for unemployment benefits went the wrong way in the last week, up 14%, 419,000 fresh applications. But how much does this closely watched figure really tell us about the job market? On Thursdays, we consult Diane Swonk, the chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton.
At the onset of the crisis, they were really good indicators at how rapidly the world was shifting. But now what we saw was from the pandemic, they actually revealed really big problems at the state and local level, mostly state level, on these systems, how antiquated they were, how hard they were to use. And many of those problems have been since rectified. And we're going to see going forward, people who would not have used the unemployment insurance system when they lost a job now using it. So even as the economy improves, we could see a higher rate of initial unemployment insurance claims because we've gotten rid of many of these problems that were out there. So I would take these numbers, even though they were done the week of the survey week for employment, with a bit of grain of salt.
Economist Diane Swonk in Chicago. Checking the markets. In early trading, the Dow is down 27 points, less than a tenth percent. The S&P 500 is up barely 3 points. The NASDAQ is up 0.2%. Get out your Torx screwdrivers, people. The Federal Trade Commission is pledging to make it easier for consumers to fix their own stuff. Phones, trucks, farm equipment, right to repair. Here's Marketplace's Nova Safo.
The FTC's five commissioners, including the two Republican-appointed ones, yesterday voted to approve a new policy statement that promises to scrutinize manufacturer repair restrictions for antitrust and other violations, and to potentially create new right-to-repair rules. The FTC says manufacturers are restricting the ability of consumers to either fix their own equipment or to use third-party repair shops by, for example, gluing together parts to prevent swapping one of them out, or restricting access to diagnostic software. Manufacturers say the restrictions are necessary to safeguard intellectual property, maintain cybersecurity, and protect consumers from injury. But private repair companies and advocacy groups have been pushing for change with a so-called Right to Repair campaign. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
We watch a documentary a month for Econ Extra Credit here in July. It's a concert film called Summer of Soul, a stunning record of a set of six open-air concerts in New York's Harlem. It was the same summer as Woodstock, but even the musician, DJ, and writer Questlove, who directs this film, had never heard of the Harlem Cultural Festival of 1969. Young Stevie Wonder, The Staples, Mahalia Jackson, Nina Simone, and more presented in performance and in the context of the times. Joining us are two of the producers of the film, Joseph Patel and Robert Fivelant. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
I mean, everything's going on at the same time. It's the same summer as Woodstock, but also Apollo 11 landing happens essentially at the same time as one of the six concerts that make up the Harlem Festival. And you have a clip, I think, probably from CBS, in which you get a very different take on the achievement of the lunar landing. Let's listen.
What are your thoughts?
As far as science goes and everybody that's involved with the moon landing and astronauts, it's beautiful, you know. Like me, I couldn't care less.
This means more to you than that.
Yeah, much more. Cash they wasted, as far as I'm concerned, in getting to the moon could have been used to feed poor black people in Harlem and all over the place, all over this country. So, like, never mind the moon. Let's get some of that cash in Harlem.
Well, you see, gentlemen, right, that when culture erases that moment, it erases that important point of view.
Absolutely. You know, one of the most amazing things that happened while we were making this movie was that we found footage that wasn't part of what was, you know, in the Hal Tolchin stash, which was Walter Cronkite cutting to a reporter at the Harlem Cultural Festival. And, you know, to be able to make the connection between our footage and that perspective of what America saw even then, you know, was pretty striking.
Yeah, the erasure extends. That clip was never aired beyond New York City. Thankful that CBS's news archives let us use it, but it does show that that perspective was sort of hidden from plain view.
And the film makes this point that the summer of 69 is this turning point for really the brand of blackness. Let's play one more clip.
69 was the pivotal year where the Negro died and black was born.
So when you see the performances and what the performers are saying, black as a term, which we now capitalize, by then has arrived.
Yeah, I mean, one of the people we spoke to was Charlene Hunter Gault, who's, you know, at the time in 1969 is sort of the unofficial Harlem bureau chief for the New York Times. And she filed a story that year in 1969 where she changed the word Negro to black and her editor reversed her change and that she got very upset and sent an 11-page memo explaining why using the term black was important. And I think what you're seeing in 69 is this reclaiming of the term. And that's informing not only the audience at the festival, but also the musicians on stage.
Joseph Patel and Robert Fivelant are producers of Summer of Soul, along with David Dinnerstein. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Earlier, we mentioned the late Hal Tulchin. He was the original producer who thought to record everything on spec footage, which sat in the basement for all of these decades. How is it possible the TV networks back then didn't jump at what was being pitched as the Black Woodstock? Marketplace.org if you missed that part of the discussion on the air. A documentary a month for Econ Extra Credit. Sign up for free for the newsletter, marketplace.org/newsletters. I'm David Brancaccio with our morning report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.